Listening Library presents Lies on the Serpent's Tongue by Kate Pearsall. Read for you by Julie Webster. For Ellie, and for the girls with fiery tempers and tender hearts. James Family Book of Mountain Wisdom. September. Harvest Moon. A chill in the air marks the full moon in September. As the growing season slows to dormancy, it is time to reap what we've sown. In the midst of wild abundance, do not despair. Heed the urgent stirring of our strength, a rallying cry for courage. Learn to honor the trials that sharpened us into what we are now while we mourn that which is no longer ours and all the paths we didn't choose. In season. Garden. Arugula, beets, candy roaster and kushaw squash, cantaloupes, grapes, green beans, green tomatoes, mustard and collard greens, pears, peppers, potatoes, radishes, shelling beans, zucchini. Forage. Apples, pawpaws, chicken of the woods, wood ear, witch's butter, puffball, lion's mane, milk cap, persimmons, acorns, sassafras, wild carrot, chestnuts, spice berry, winter green, burdock roots, cow parsnip, hackberries, may pops, hawthorn haws, black walnuts, passion flower. Gently shake the pawpaw tree and only take what falls. Fruit plucked from the tree too early will be sour, and it won't ripen further once picked. Sleep easy tea. When sleep feels an impossible dream, combine lavender, passion flower, chamomile, and lemon balm, gathered and dried under the new moon. Pour fresh, hot water over the tea and let it steep for at least 5 minutes. Add honey to make it stick and sweeten dreams. Drink 1 to 2 cups before bedtime. If it's nightmares keeping you awake, find their shapes in the leaves, then wash them away and cleanse them from your mind. Apollonia James, 1972. Chapter 1. The smell of a lie is a potent thing, burnt around the edges and foul all the way through. Sometimes it's so strong, I imagine it must singe the mouth of the teller like a hot coal. But not even that would stop them. Everybody lies, and that's the honest truth. Some are chronic liars, almost like they've developed a taste for it, and the stench lingers like smoker's breath, a pungent reminder they're not to be trusted. Others dabble in the practice, a few choice fibs they keep around, like bits of charred meat stuck between their teeth. And then there are the ones who lie like they're doing you a favor. They fill the air with putrescence and expect you to be grateful for the experience. As if the truth could ever be more shameful than their falsehoods. I can't believe I let myself get roped into this, I mutter as Grand parks the old Bronco in front of Cabell Hollow's town hall, a squat brick box built in the 1980s generic corporate style of so many insurance agencies or orthodontic practices dotted throughout Appalachia. It'll only be an hour, Grand says. 2 tops. And you know good and well we would have been here anyhow. At least this way we get paid for it. Now quit your caterwauling and get a move on. Caterwauling? That was barely whining, I protest. But she isn't wrong. The first public meeting of the town council following the sudden death of the mayor last month, is likely not the best place for someone with my particular ability. And yet, there's no way I'd miss it. When we got the call at the diner this morning asking us to cater, I'd agreed despite the late notice. If they're going to lie about what happened, they can damn well do it to my face. The first of the maples and poplars have already started to drop their leaves, and they crunch beneath my feet as I make my way to the tailgate, where I collect trays filled with lavender shortbread to ease conversation, and squares of chess cake for softening hearts. For as long as anyone can remember, we James women have been born with certain talents. Sorrel, my older sister, can charm bees to do her bidden, making honey with special properties that enhance any spell. Linden, younger than me by only 11 months, can taste the emotions of others. And my youngest sister, Juniper, sees beyond this world to the next. Yet, since our earliest ancestor, Caroon James, first stepped out of the forest and into Cabal Hollow more than 200 years ago, those gifts have meant we've been treated with an air of suspicion, if not downright contempt, by our neighbors. Even when we use them for their benefit, like Gran's healing tinctures, or the baked goods Linden made for this very meeting, which is more than I would have done after what this town put her through. When I reach the wide, heavy door, I press my back against it while balancing the trays in my arms and nearly plow into council member Gail Ann Gerlach. She casts me an annoyed glance, then puts a perfectly manicured hand on the shoulder of a tired-looking woman I'm pretty sure is the town clerk, leading her away to continue their conversation with a saccharine smile. My eye catches on the black-and-white photograph of the original town hall, prominently displayed in the fluorescent-lit lobby. The ornate, neoclassical structure was struck by lightning and burned down decades ago, its image a sharp contrast to the yellowed walls and generic industrial carpet of the current building. The only room with any ounce of grandeur now is also the only one filmed by the local public access station, the city council meeting room, with its raised dais for the council members, dark wood-paneled walls, and the large gold medallion with the Cabal Hollow town crest front and center, behind the empty chair reserved for the mayor. One of the staffers points me to a folding table at the back of the space, and by the time Gran and I have finished laying out the refreshments, the room is thick with too many bodies and too little circulation. The smell of strong coffee wafting from the carafe next to me isn't enough to cover the stench in the air as the council members scramble to impress voters ahead of the election in a couple months. Even local politicians are prone to stretch the truth with empty promises. Oaky Spurgeon, president of the town council, ends a call on his cell phone and steps up to the seat on the dais behind his nameplate before attempting to quiet the crowd and call the meeting to order. Gran eyes me from the other side of the table when I drop down into one of the last remaining chairs, but she holds her tongue for once as I lean forward, propping my elbows against my knees to cover my nose without drawing attention. Not that it helps. I've always been able to sniff out a lie, even when I'd rather not. Beulah Fordham Hayes from the school board cuts me an irritated look anyway, her steely gaze matching the steel gray hair that ripples in reproach as she turns away.
"All right, y'all. Let's get down to our first order of business," Oki begins.
His perpetually rosy cheeks are extra sanguine this evening. It's standing room only now. Big entertainment for a small town.
"And the reason I'm sure most of you are here, we're only a couple weeks into ginseng season, and already we have some grave concerns.
Preliminary evidence shows the recent car accident near the National Forest that killed...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?